Well, good evening, class. Today we're going to be coming out of a lesson in chapter 9 of your book. It's the manifestation of man's rebellion. But we're going to deal on this particular subject that words are outlets of the heart. And our scripture references today are going to be 2 Peter 2, 10 through 12, Ephesians 5 and 6, and Jude 8 through 10, and Matthew 12 through 34. And I'm particularly coming almost straight out of the book, class. So if you find it, you can follow along pretty good. First statement is, and it's in question form. And it seemed to me like a good test question, if you ask me, because it's gonna answer some question for us in time to come. In what particular areas is man's rebellion most obviously manifested? In what particular area is man's rebellion most obviously manifested? In this particular class, we're not talking or teaching this class because you are rebellious. All these points and everything we are teaching is what I would call preventative measures. Prevention is better than the cure, and that's what I was always taught. Prevention is always better than the cure. If you can prevent something, if you can prevent a cold, then you don't need the cure. So if you can prevent yourself from getting into rebellion, you don't have to go through the hardship that it brings and the place of repentance that most people don't like to go in. So these are the three most obviously, and I'm not saying these are the only one, but these are the most obviously ways that rebellion is manifested in words, in reasons, and in thoughts. And each of these three, we're going to go a little bit deeper, but we're going to begin with words first in teaching these things. In words, in reason, and in thoughts. Unless there are practical dealing in these areas, the hope of deliverance from rebellion is very dim or very slim. Now, here's point number one, class. From words or outlet of the heart. A man who is rebellion in heart will soon utter rebellious words, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, or the mouth speaks. Now, let's turn to Matthew 12 and 24, and we're going to look at it straight from Jesus' lips or Jesus' mouth concerning this area here about the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. We say 12 and 34, but I think I need to go up a little bit further than that, to give us a better understanding of what Jesus is really saying, because he says some other things that we need to take account of. So instead of verse 34, let's see where would be a good starting point, class. Give you a chance to find it in your Bible here, and give me a chance to find out where I want to start. I'm looking at maybe, let's start at verse 31. He says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now that's a strong statement here. He's showing the high regard of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and how we should hearken unto this statement that Jesus made. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word, underline this in Bible class, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. For by thy word thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's a powerful set of scripture we just read. But we're going to get back to the lesson. And with those scriptures we read in mind, I want you to keep that same train of thought to what Jesus was saying. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. By that word thou shalt be justified, and by that word also thou shalt be condemned. So we're fixing to see the importance and the power of words that we speak. But words that we speak don't begin with the tongue or the mouth. Word that we speak begins with the heart of man. The soul of man, the part that can communicate in both realms. Are you with me, Claire? Now, when one have an encounter with God, the foundation of God's authority will be laid in his life. And let's say this a different way, Claire. When one have an encounter with God and you receive a revelation from God. You see, an encounter is one thing, but when you receive a revelation from that encounter, it puts you into another realm. It puts you into the realm of the spirit. See, a lot of times the encounter with God sometimes is manifested in a physical realm. You know, like Paul met Jesus on Damascus Road. That was a encounter with God. It was a physical thing, but that transpired. But except Paul received a revelation from God, that encounter wouldn't mean anything. So if we get encounter with God on a personal level, that revelation through that encounter must make the difference in your life. And so sometimes God will permit us into instances. He even permits you to make mistakes. So you can have an encounter, but through that encounter, through that mistake, through that, watch this word, through that misstep that you make, sometimes revelation comes that you'll never forget, that become part of your spirit. It embraces your soul to not want to go that route anymore. And therefore, it becomes the revelation, and therefore, a revelation creates a foundation. Remember I say that. A revelation creates a foundation. What kind of foundation? It creates a foundation that will leave an everlasting mark in your life where you won't have to go that route. And it put a stamp on your heart. And that stamp on your heart puts something in you that I almost can't describe. It's like it draws a line in the sand that you can't cross anymore. You can't do that anymore. You don't want to think that anymore. You see it? Because it put an everlasting impression on your spirit. And that's what I think revelation does. Putting its imprint on your spirit that you can live in another realm. Revelation takes us from the natural aspect of life and calls us to see that aspect in another realm of the spirit. Hope you understand what I'm saying. And where you can live it out in the spirit. You see? So a revelation of a rebellion has to be lived out in the spirit. And once you become marked, you don't want to have to experience that again. You know, I was a little boy. I was about 8 years old. My brother and I were playing. We had a big ditch on the, beside the house, the old house we used to live in. And it became a playground for us. I mean, all the kids, we were playing this big dish. Now, what fun we had in this big dish, I don't know. But it was this big, we had played in so much, it was clean. It was wide, it was clean. And sometimes we used to play cowboy, and then you can duck in it, you know, and shoot your imaginary cowboy pistol and your bow and arrow. But one day my brother and I were playing, and we were rolling like cowboys and Indians, I guess. And when I went down the ditch, well, lo and behold, a piece of bottle glass was sticking out of the dirt, and it caught my arm, and it ripped it about an inch wide, and it looked like but maybe a half inch deep. And it bled. I mean, it bled, and that mark is still on this my arm today. And I was 8 years old. I'm talking about over years ago. But every time I look at that mark, I think about 8 years old. I think about that situation. So my point is, sometimes certain things you experience leave a mark on you, an everlasting mark, everlasting impression on you that you don't ever forget. Now, if it wasn't for the mark, I would never think about that. But you look at it, I think about it every time I look at my arm. It reminds me of this time that I suffered. Oh, yeah, I suffered. You know, they didn't take us to get stitched up back then. My mom put a piece of fat on it and wrapped it with I don't know what the fat did, draw infection or something up. And she wrapped it around my arm and tied the piece of white rag, and I went about my business. Those old days, they have come and gone, but never forgot it. Never forgot it. And so we're talking about impression. We're talking about foundation. We're talking about revelation of experience that keeps us from repeating past mistakes. So they don't come in the present. Something you need to keep in the past where it never reaches your experience again. Now, hope that made a little sense, but that's one of the things I wanted to get across to you. When one have an encounter with God, the foundation of God's authority will be laid in his life. And so those encounters, those experiences, those revelations leave a mark and put a foundation of authority in your life when it comes to rebellion. And so you respect authority, you understand authority, and you know how to submit to authority because you know what it means and what God thinks about it and how God feels about it. And we read about David, and we read about Saul. We read about Saul when Saul made his mistake. We're gonna go further and see other instances of rebellion before this year is up, so we can see how not to be rebellious and the penalty of it. We have to recognize that when we make mistakes, there's penalty, and we can be penalized for mistakes. And those and sometimes the penalty might lead to death. If not lead to death, it'll lead to suffering. And nobody wants to go a way of suffering. Now, listen to this. Before one utters a rebellious word, he will become conscious of his trespass and thus be inwardly restrained. Now, that's a good statement. Before one speaks or utter a rebellious word, because of the revelation, because of the impression, and because of the working of the Holy Ghost that's in their life, because of the foundation that's been laid, and because of the encounter The Holy Ghost always going to remind us and always going to convict us of wrong words even before they're uttered, even before they're spoken, Clive. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but sometimes a judgment might want to come up out of your mouth, but before it come out of your mouth, your spirit catches it through the Holy Ghost. And to bring a conviction on the inside of you, say, I can't say that. I should not say that. And because the Holy Ghost has imprinted us, put an impression on us and put a mark on us. And so certain things we just can't do anymore. I remember the old statement, but my mom never did it to us, but back in days going by or days past, when someone one of the children would curse, they say they'll wash their mouth out with soap. And so every time, I guess, that cussing word want to come out, they'll think about that awful, foul taste of soap in their mouth. And I don't know if it was literal. I don't know if just was a word they said, but I can imagine the experience, and I imagine the lesson that was learned if it was done. I've never had it done, never seen any of my sisters and brothers, maybe, but others may have done it. I've heard the cliche about washing your mouth out with soap when someone was cursed. And so that was to teach them not to curse anymore. So on the behalf of that statement, we're gonna see how we become inwardly restrained spiritually by the Holy Ghost. There's a way, if there is a way, the Holy Ghost can wash our mouth out with soap in certain experience. So we won't even think about speaking or uttering a rebellious word once we had an encounter with God. That's the place to be. When your heart has become a place of conviction, and when your heart has become tender like that of David, when David, instead of killing Saul, he cut the skirt off of his robe and his heart smote him, the Bible said. That smoting of his heart put this mark on the inside of him, knowing that he could not touch God's anointing, because God's spirit proved to him that it wasn't his will to touch God's anointing. And that's why David knew, and that's why David stopped his men from doing what they wanted him to do and what they were willing to do. You see it? See, because you can stop others around you from speaking rebellious words once you get the revelation and once they understand and know. A man's rebellion is expressed through his tongue. It's out of the heart and come the abundance of the heart, and is uttered through word. Now, listen to this statement. He may agree with a person to his face, but revile him or speak evil against him behind his back. Let me stop and put a pause there. You see, sometimes just because you think words are not uttered, you're going a little deeper. Just because you think words are not uttered, that it's a safeguard against being rebellious. That take us back a step. You know, words are outlet of the heart. You may have conquered the mouth from speaking rebellious word, but you have to go back a little bit further and conquer the heart from allowing rebellious thoughts to even get into your heart. Now, this lesson, it seemed like it's being taught backwards, but I'm showing you the end results of what begins in the thoughts. You see, it begins with thoughts. And then it goes to reasoning, and then it goes to words. Now, that process, we seem like he's teaching it backwards, but when you see the end results, we're gonna take it back, all the way back to thoughts, and find out that it doesn't start with the words. It ends with the words. It begins with thoughts. And when what thought does, it thoughts create reasoning in a person's mind. And we're going to deal with reasoning and thoughts. But reasoning, it put us into sensual nature. It put us into the human realm and caused us to begin to question things. Sometimes question things that it get us into a satanic positioning. Like, for instance, with Adam and Eve, when Satan tempted Eve with the thought, you're not going to die. Well, that thought was implanted into Eve's heart. And now she began to reason, well, if I'm not going to die, well, what harm can it do? Because the serpent said they're going to make me wise. Now she got not dying and becoming wise, not dying, becoming wise. Now I'm putting those two things together and becomes a reason. So now the reason why I'm going to eat off of this tree is because I'm not going to die and I'm becoming wise. Now that just took me right out of God's plan and God's positioning, because now it's not going to kill me. I'm going to become wise and not die. Now, what a demonic revelation! What an evil revelation that Satan just gave Eve. What it came through the thought first, and then it came through the process of reasoning. See, thoughts unchecked will cause you to reason. And once you reason, you can reason your way right out what is God saying. You reason yourself right out of God's command and God's thoughts. It takes you from God's thoughts, don't eat the tree. Don't eat of the tree. Unless you're surely going to die. See, Satan lied to Eve. Yes, he was going to die. She was going to die eternally, separated from God. That was worse than a physical death. You see, dying is one thing, but being separated from God eternally, that's another thing. And that's what God meant. You're going to be separated from me. I won't have communion with you anymore, spirit to spirit, like we've been enjoying the fellowship with each other. You see, so thoughts is the first process. I know we seem like we're going backward with words, but it's to give us a more vivid understanding of where we're about to go with them. Thoughts. Words bring reasoning, thoughts bring reasoning, and reasoning turns into a word because it becomes implanted in your heart and as a rebellious spirit. Those thoughts return rebellious because they object God's thoughts. You see it? Because God's thoughts become defiled. D-E-F-I-L-E-D. God's thoughts become defiled through satanic reasoning. God's thoughts are pure. But when you begin to reason with God's thoughts, the impurity of the satanic rebellion takes the strength from God's word. Rebellion rips God's word of its purity, of its wholeness, of his grace, of his love, of his power, of his might, of his glory. That's what rebellious word does. That's what rebellious thoughts does. That's what rebellious reasoning does. Now, there's another reasoning. God said, reason with me. You can reason with God's word, and God can give you a revelation. Reasoning with God's word brings revelation. It's almost like meditating. Come, let us reason together, God said in his word. Now, I see I'm not getting too far, Claire, but I'm trying to get you to see what happens when you take on thought and that thought becomes reasoning and the reason becomes words and the word becomes spoken. Now, I hope I say something to help you there. Don't ask me to say it again because I can't. All right, Claire. All right. Now, here's another statement. Well, let's explain this one here. He may agree with a person to his face, but revile him behind his back. You see it? Now, we're talking about that rebellion They may not be spoken, but yet embedded in the heart. See, that got to be dealt with. The heart has to be dealt with, because even though the mouth doesn't speak it, the heart holding back rebellion that haven't been spoken. Let's just read. He may agree with a person to his face, but revile by him behind his back. He may keep quiet in front of a man, but have much to say aloud later on. You see, that's a deception from the enemy, and that causes rebellions to be manifested, even though it wasn't spoken directly, but it was spoken outwardly without a person knowing. I remember the situation the apostle talks about. This man comes up to the apostle. He kneels down before him. He said, I got to ask you to forgive me. I put my mouth on you. Now, he didn't put his mouth on him directly face to face. He didn't rebel against him face to face, but he just spoke evil. He reviled against him in some way. He said, nothing is working right for me. See, apostle had no knowledge of this. He may have seen the man and thought nothing but good from the man. But yet the man had much evil to say behind apostle's back. But yet the man, because he was born again, his heart convicted him, and he recognized that nothing wasn't working for him, that he had made a mistake, and he had to get it straight, and the only way to get it straight is through repentance. And he said, I need you to forgive me. Apostle said, I'll forgive you. He didn't even know anything was wrong. I'll forgive you. And he released the man, let the man go about the business. But the man got free, because he had enough spiritual sense to repent and get himself out of that mess. So that's a good way to illustrate this. You see it? So you got to be careful with your thoughts. Even though they're not verbalized at that time, yet those words, even when they come out later, can haunt you. That means that rebellion has to be dealt with. You don't realize how much people err in this area. You don't realize the downfall that they have, and really don't know the cause of it, because they don't understand the spiritual authority, and they don't understand rebellion. And so they're living their life in ignorance, defeated, and don't know why. Are you with me, Claire? Now, here's some of the instances here. It said Eve carelessly added to God's word. Genesis 3 and 3. Read that sometime. Ham broadcast his father's nakedness to his brother. Now, listen to this. Criticizing people and taking great delight in disclosing others' faults. Miriam and Aaron reviled Moses in Numbers 12. If there is a rebellious spirit within a person, it will soon be discovered by God. Remember that, class. If there's a rebellious spirit within a person, it will soon be discovered by God. Korah and his company attacked Moses. Number 16. We witness here three levels of rebellion. Miriam's words were restrained, whereas Korah and his company threw off all restraint. Now, Claire, this short lesson that we just gave take us into an introduction of being rebellious and walking with the spirit of rebellion. God never intends his children to walk that way. And through this lesson, Claire, it hopes us bring us to a unity of the spirit, you know, within the church, within our spiritual leaders, to walk in love, not just by word only, but by revelation and understanding the knowledge of authority. Class, you've been a good class, and I'll see you next week. God bless.